Welcome to our morning show today from WRCO Radio. We're talking about senior life solutions in the first part of the show, and we have guests from the Richland Hospital here today. We have Christine Olson and also Robin Hosman. They'll talk about what they do and also about why this is an important show. So, Christine, we'll start with you. What is your title with Richland Hospital?
Yeah, so I'm one of the program therapists, so run one of the groups that get together. I'm a licensed clinical social worker.
Okay. So explain what Senior Life Solutions is. Yeah.
So Senior Life Solutions is a mental health outpatient program that we're very lucky to have at the Richland Hospital. We serve adults, typically over the age of 65, that are experiencing changes in mental health. So we do a whole range of things, but the core of our program, people come to us that are dealing with life changes and grief and depression and anxiety and come to receive support. So, like I said, we do a whole host. We have different disciplines involved in our program, but the core of it is group therapy, mental health treatment, also individual treatment. So
it seems like it's a big umbrella because it incorporates a lot of different aspects.
It really is. I think we often hear people say, I don't really know if I fit for this program or if I meet the requirements for the program, but often people do just because there are so many different issues that fall under that umbrella when it comes to mental health and being a senior.
You said 65 and older, but who is eligible for your programs?
Really anyone. We're very person-centered, case-by-case basis. Uh-huh. We always want people to make the referral, and we'll talk to them about eligibility. Typically 65 plus, but there are some exceptions.
Okay. Robin, nice to meet you. What is your title?
Yes, good morning. Thanks for having us. My title is Licensed Professional Counselor, and I'm also a program therapist along with Christine. So we work together to meet the needs of our groups, and we work in a team approach.
One of the aspects that I don't know that we've delved into a lot on this program, but suicide awareness, especially in older adults. Could you speak about that?
Yeah, and thank you for giving us an opportunity. This is such an important topic and a hard topic for people to consider, but we are in Suicide Awareness Month, and so our program is really designed to support folks in understanding that those issues are real and that we can help approach them. We know that suicide in older populations is a real and important concern, and many people are dealing with things like grief and a chronic illness or chronic loneliness that they have based on their life conditions, and we are here to say that there are folks available to help and mediate some of those problems, and we really find amazing outcomes when people are able to access our resources.
Could you go over some of the things to look for, maybe if you have a loved one that might be going through some of those things?
Sure, really great question. Just being aware of changes in behavior. When folks are having difficulty, we don't often have the words to give to those situations that are coming up internally. So noticing behavior changes is a big thing. If you've noticed lower mood in someone or talking about end-of-life concerns and things in a way that just doesn't feel normal for that person, being able to reach out and connect with resources would be really important. And we know, we always say as therapists and folks who work in mental health, that asking a person about suicide is not going to cause suicide. So we're really trying to build awareness that talking about it is actually helpful and ends up reducing the risks of suicide completion. So we are very proactive around that.
Are the warning signs different for an older person than they would be for someone younger? Would either of you want to comment?
Yeah, I think I can also chime in. It's different but similar. Yeah, I think, you know, withdrawing from family and friends is something that we see across the ages. Talking about being a burden, I think, is very specific for seniors. And maybe we might see an increase in talking about death and what that looks like and making plans, addressing what would happen. Those things are, we don't want to say that that's abnormal. It's good to talk about death and dying and what we want to happen when we do die. But I think with seniors specifically, we do see some of that increase in thinking about death. Changes in eating and sleeping definitely is a big one. Health complaints, I think, is unique for seniors as well, just because they're more likely to be experiencing health complaints. So we see a lot of chronic pain and other chronic health issues that is really just wearing them down and just totally wiping away all that mood, happiness, joy, purpose in their life.
Yeah, I can see that. Not that we can relate, but Robin, if it hurts to get out of bed in the morning and things like that, and you know, just going through those kind of things, it's got to be tough some days.
Yes, absolutely. And we know that the time of life of being an older adult comes with a unique set of challenges. And we don't often have pathways to explain what those things are. And so sometimes people can be in sudden chronic conditions or the evolution of a condition, a health situation that leads them to a place where they are having feelings that they haven't had. And so being able to have a resource like Senior Life Solutions, where, like I said, we take a team approach. Our director is an RN, Haley Fosterling. We have two wonderful office patient coordinators. Shout out to Robin and Lisa. And we work as a team to make sure that needs are met. So we're doing things like weekly health checks and supportive med checks and having folks meeting with psychiatrists. So we have a lot of ways to help take a team approach to any of those issues that are coming up for folks in this stage of life.
We wanted to talk also about breaking stigmas and getting some of those conversations started. Christine, could you address that?
Yeah. So we see a lot of stigma with the older generation. Mental health was not talked about. So I think there's a general attitude, I hear it all the time from patients, that I don't want to bother them. They don't need to know about my problems. Everyone has problems. That keep it to yourself attitude, pick yourself up by the bootstraps mm-hmm. kind of attitude, right? We hear that a lot. There is a deep, deep fear, I think about being seen as weak or as a burden. And often I think what we see, we're always challenging that in therapy as well, is people are more focused on physical health and looking at that very logically and not also understanding and reflecting and being honest about how it's affecting their emotional health, because it does. And we know it does. And that is often what leads to higher rates of suicide, depression, anxiety, social isolation.
But if you're going through something physically, you know, it's got to be weighing on you, draining you mentally as well.
Yeah, I always talk about the spoons. There's a spoon theory. And if we have chronic pain or chronic illness, a lot of spoons are taken up just to do one activity in the day. So when all our spoons are gone, it definitely limits our ability to interact and enjoy the life we all have.
Are there some common misconceptions about aging?
Yeah, definitely. So I think the biggest one is that, this is just part of aging. Some of that withdrawal, forgetfulness, low mood, it's normal. It's normal to be depressed when you're older. That's a misconception. Also, kind of though, can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? It's too late to get better. It's too late to... Some of our folks have been actually coping, dealing with depression their whole lives, and it's not too late. We want them to feel like they can get effective treatment at any age, and they can make changes and improve the quality of their life. I think another misconception is that I touched on is asking for help makes you weak. That is a big challenge that we're always dealing with. Ask for help. Please ask for help. It actually shows a lot of strength. I think about how strong you have to be to reach out and ask for help.
Mm-hmm. Those of us that are maybe caregivers or, you know, we're checking in on our parents or grandparents and that mm-hmm. kind of thing, that is a tough conversation to start, Robin.
Sure, yeah. And we have some thoughts about how you might do that if you're worried about someone you love. And we really emphasize this idea of being direct but gentle. So of course not in a heated moment, but in a time when you are able to have a relaxed visit, to be able to say things like, I care about you. I've noticed you don't seem yourself. And to ask open questions like, have you been feeling down or how have you been feeling emotionally about the challenges you're experiencing? And then to listen without judgment and to always remind them that they're not a burden and that their concerns matter to us.
Mm-hmm. I know from personal experience, my mother could have won an Academy Award because I think she did a good job of, you know, acting when things weren't going well.
Right. And that is kind of a cultural and societal thing that we think we need to always put up the appearance of always doing well. And we know that chronic conditions and just the process of aging bring so many challenges and that folks don't have to tackle those on their own. And that we don't expect, especially at Senior Life Solutions, we don't expect people to show up with everything together. We're really here as a community and in our groups especially to support each other. And that's some of the most exciting work that Christine and I see is the peer support for that process. And when folks are isolated, you know, especially living in rural communities, if they're not able to get to social things, the group provides this wonderful supportive place of, I'm not alone in my struggles and there are other people here, and it really lifts folks up.
Mm-hmm. That first step though, sometimes that first call, that first visit is the tough
hardest.
One, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think our team does a remarkable job of making that process of just beginning to explore what could be going on and how we can help. And so our nurse Haley is one, and our program director is wonderful at doing those intake. We call them intake conversations after someone is referred. So you hear that language of referral and intake. And those are common to us, but other folks may not understand. So if someone is recommended to our program, and anyone can do that, and Christine can talk a little bit more about that too, Haley and our office staff will work to help everyone understand the process and what will happen. So it's, I think, not a scary process, even though that first step does feel kind of like, ooh, what am I doing if I admit that there's something going on? But we really want to encourage people forward through that process.
So. Christine, maybe you could walk us through that process when we make that initial call and visit.
Yeah, so you don't have to be referred by a doctor. Anyone can make a referral to our program, which is a wonderfully unique thing about our program. But when we do receive that referral, if we haven't already spoken with the patient, that is the first thing we do. We reach out to the person. And as we were talking about, that is often the biggest hurdle. That first conversation, I think, is where we meet a lot of that apprehension and fear and worry, and also just not understanding what our program looks like, which, why would anyone know about what our program looks like? But as she was saying, Haley does a really great job. We try to meet that person where they're at, whether that's in their home or in a facility, or they can come to us if that's most comfortable. And often, I think, right after that initial intake appointment, to just talk about what we're experiencing, symptoms, changes, that is where we see some of that apprehension and fear reduce, because we start to build comfortability. So I always say, don't let the fear of the call stop you. As we establish a relationship, that comfort will build, and understanding.
You have some group sessions as well. Could you talk about those?
Yeah. So our program is built around that group model. We meet 3 times a week. Not everyone attends 3 times a week. So we do have 2 different groups that are going on at the same time. Kind of staggered, but yes, so that group session is the core of our program. It's where they, as Robin was talking about, can connect with peers, relate, feel supported, but also just learn a lot about ourselves. Education and understanding about mental health is very, very empowering, and we see just a great change in symptoms usually once a person, even just after a few weeks in our program, because they don't feel so isolated and alone anymore.
Do people attend these, can they, with their caregivers or family members, the group sessions, or is it pretty much singly?
Group sessions are attended by the person themselves, but in terms of the wraparound resources, that we can involve family members in those in those things. So, typically it's the individual attends the group, but then, like, if there are individual sessions or meeting with the nurse or the psychiatrist, that can also happen with family members.
How does insurance work on this? You mentioned you didn't have to have a referral from a doctor. You find that difficult for people or not?
Not at all. Again, person-centered. Insurance just depends. So what we always say is we take every insurance, but not every insurance takes us. So we want it. We want everyone to make the referral despite concerns about insurance, because we'll navigate that process and look into it. When we get a referral, we're immediately looking into that. No one should have to pay for these services. So yes, insurance doesn't have to be a hurdle.
And that sometimes can be, you know, mind-boggling too. So you guys can walk people through that process.
Yeah, it is. That's one another thing that is so wonderful about our program. Working in previous settings, I think insurance can be challenging, but we generally see really great receptiveness to it. And it's, like I said, it's not a challenge. So it is scary though, or people are uncertain of what that looks like, but we handle that process so they don't have to worry about it.
Robin?
Yeah. And if it is determined that the program's not the right fit for someone, we always make sure people are connected with referral resources. So it's a great place to call if you just have concerns and you're not sure where to start. Our staff is really keyed into that, walking people through the process. So maybe if Senior Life Solutions isn't a fit, which it is a wonderful fit for so many folks, we will ensure the design of our program that folks have resources connected.
Do you connect with other like senior centers and meal sites and churches and things like that as well?
Yes. That's a big mission, a big part of our program, especially what Haley, our program director, is involved in. We all support that and get involved in that. We just actually had a bingo event last week at the community center, where we are frequent flyers at the community center. So Haley's always doing really good work getting out there, connecting with churches, community centers, other clinics, groups that get together, funeral homes. A big part of being successful in this community is being connected with the community.
Well said. How can we get involved then? Are there things that we can do to support?
I think just spreading the word. No matter how much community education we do, people seem to have only just heard about us, which we want to change that. So just spreading the word, knowing that there is a mental health program out there for seniors in our very small community. I think we're so blessed to have that program here. So just spreading the word, talking about mental health, knowing that there is support out there is really powerful. And if anyone wants to get connected with us, we are so happy to receive that. Groups have contacted us and asked us to go speak at maybe their board meeting or their get together. And we are always so happy to do that. And we'll make time for that.
Are there common questions that you get when you're making those appearances?
I think so. Just generally, what do you do? What actually is this program? Yeah, I think there's a whole host of questions about what we see when people come in. How does our program work? Is there a beginning or end to the program? Those types of questions is often what we see. Yeah.
Yeah, with your therapy sessions too, or your group sessions, not necessarily you're not doing it to go to. I mean, some people probably stay in the program for years, don't they, Robin?
Sure. Yeah. It's all, like Christine said, person centered. So we tailor the program based on whatever folks are experiencing in their symptoms and what their goals are, and then we're working really hard behind the scenes to ensure we're tracking that progress, measuring those goals with our folks who attend the program, and really focusing our psychoeducation, which is that fancy term for what Christine and I do. A large part of our work is focused on teaching about conditions and teaching about coping strategies and skills and ways that folks can manage their symptoms and manage the things that they're facing. And so that's kind of in a nutshell what we do.
If someone is in crisis, what should we do?
Good question. Very good question. So there's lots of different resources. I think there's no bad place to start. Reaching out for any help. We always encourage people to call 911 if there's immediate danger. I think some people are scared to make that phone call for a neighbor or a loved one or ourselves, but 911 is, you know, our immediate access when in dangerous, scary situations. We also have that 988, which is easy to remember, not 911, but 988, which is a suicide and crisis lifeline that's available 24/7. And locally we have also, you know, if the county has resources and crisis support. So starting anywhere, a doctor, a friend, a neighbor, a pastor, anywhere, and hopefully people can get you that support.
If someone is listening and they're concerned about a loved one or a neighbor or something like that, I mean, where do you step in, Robin? I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, you don't want to be meddling in somebody's business, but you're also concerned, right?
Right. And as I said at the top, that we know that asking about that worry or that concern does not cause suicide. So we really want to ask people directly, are you considering this or is this something that's on your mind? And then be present with them, be willing to stay and keep them safe if they agree that that is something that they're dealing with. And then just being willing to support yourself to connect out to resources. So we want folks to know that they do not have to carry that all. We are all out here in this field working because we know how to help in those scenarios. And so we're here at Senior Life. We have the emergency responding community that is fantastic. And then we also have the 988 hotline. So just being willing to ask directly, stay present with the person, and connect with resources are the steps we remind folks to take.
If someone calls the Richland Hospital, they should ask for Senior Life Solutions in?
Please do. Yeah, you don't have to be, yeah, you can call the number and they will promptly get you down to us at Senior Life Solutions.
You mentioned home visits too. Do you do that commonly, Christine?
Yes, so not necessarily in the therapy setting. People can do our program telehealth if they can't make it, but Haley often will do those initial meetings outside of the hospital, so we can meet people in the community at home. Yeah.
If someone has, they call you and maybe it's something that doesn't affect them. I mean, you can direct them to like maybe, okay, we can't help you, but this mm-hmm. agency can?
Yes. Yes. So it's often not the case where we can't serve or meet their needs, but we're a wealth of knowledge between the team. Everyone comes from different practices and backgrounds. So we really lean on that. And resource knowledge. So we'll make that referral, we'll make that connection as we need to and get people to the right place depending on what their needs are.
Robin, do you work hand-in-hand with the ADRC as well?
Yeah, I should let Christine answer that question, but right, we refer folks often to the ADRC resources because that's such an essential part of our rural communities.
Yeah, she says that because I used to work there. So.
Oh!
Yeah, which is a really, really lovely shout out to the ADRC. They're a really great program that we have in Wisconsin at each county. So I still use them all the time. And between the resources and other supports, dementia care, grief support, those types of things, they're a really wonderful asset navigating insurance needs, healthcare, all of that. So we're constantly interacting with those folks and others in our county and community.
You have the geriatric assessment clinic as well. You work hand in hand with them, don't you?
Yeah, we do. We often have patients that are going through changes and are worried about what's happening, why am I becoming so forgetful, that we don't want to normalize that. But we want to make sure that we want to make sure that they get assessed. So the geriatric assessment clinic is something as well that the Richland Hospital has. Some of our providers who will make that referral and connect with them if they want to get assessed and tested. It's just basically a way to get some testing done to make sure that whereas our brain is as healthy as it can be at this moment.
Very good information. Yes, in closing, are there some things that you would like people to have as a takeaway, Robin?
Sure. We just are really grateful for this opportunity to talk about our work and to talk about the population of folks we serve. They're really important to us. And if anyone's having questions or concerns about a senior in their life or themselves as a senior, we really encourage them to call us at 608-647-6321, extension 2040.
Anything you'd like to add, Christine?
Yeah, I think coming back to that, it's never too late. We all deserve to get support and help. We can always feel better. We don't have to suffer in silence.
I can tell from the both of you that you're passionate about this. This is great work for you, Robin, isn't it? What do you enjoy the most about it?
Absolutely. Well, our the folks who come every day when we have our days with group, mm-hmm. which are 3 days a week, it's wonderful to welcome people in where and meet them wherever they're at. So like we say, we don't expect people to come in putting up a front. We're here for the real experiences that people have. And to just watch over time as they develop relationships that support improving their mental health, it's an amazing process. So yeah, I'm so happy to be a part of this team.
And Christine?
I agree. I think patient days are always some of the better days. They're chaotic at times, but also where we thrive as a team. I love watching my coworkers be supportive and so kind and wonderful and uplifting. It's just great to see what a simple interaction does for a person. But I feel better when my group members leave. I can laugh, I can joke, but also we can connect and support one another. So that's definitely my favorite part of the work amongst working with these wonderful ladies we have down in Senior Life Solutions. We're a small team, but a really, really great team, and really enjoy working with each other and have a passion for supporting seniors.
We can learn a lot from the seniors, can't we?
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah. I've learned a lot. Yeah. Things that I probably can't talk about on the radio, but yeah. Yeah. No, we're always learning. It's really a really fun job and wonderful, fulfilling.
And we find that folks just really value Senior Life Solutions as a point in their mm-hmm. week, and that's an amazing sense of community that the team has built down in the basement of the hospital, and it's really wonderful to connect there, and it's the coffee pot's always on, and we
the
are
coffee
ready
pot
to,
is always on.
Ready to meet folks where they're at.
Awesome. We're very lucky to have this in our area, so thank you for coming in today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us again.
You bet. Robin Hosman joining us, and Christine Olsman. I messed up your names. Robin Hosman and Christine Olsen. Thanks for joining us here today on the
thank
Morning
you so
Show.
Much.
Talking
thank
about
you.
Senior Life Solutions.